82 degrees in downtown Denver. Good evening, Colorado. Beautiful, beautiful day up and down the Front Range. It's Monday, September 25th, 2023. I'm Stephen Tubbs, Jim Nichols at the controls, Lori Kelman in the newsroom. Thank you. Nice to be back in Colorado. It was a dreary, dreary weekend for an incredibly difficult topic. We were with you live from Washington, D.C., and through the weekend, Tropical Storm Ophelia rolls through, and I know that that definitely hindered the amount of people they had at the third annual Lost Voices of Fentanyl rally and march from the Washington Monument to the White House, but we were there, and, well, I'll take you there. Now, one of the things, you know, we've on this program, I've played those types of sound bites from rallies across Colorado, around Denver and Decay over the years. This one was different. When they're talking about whose kids, our kids, when they say our kids, they mean it. They're holding up pictures of their dead kids, dead. Forever 14, forever 16, forever 32, forever 18. All dead due to fentanyl poisoning. There were former members of the Drug Enforcement Administration, law enforcement, Customs and Border Patrol, ICE. But more importantly, 45 states at minimum had people come to the nation's capital this past weekend to try to make someone give a shit. I posted on social media. Does anybody care? Does anybody really, really care? Does anybody really care until it happens to them? Because these people that are voting to decriminalize drugs, to have an open and porous border, these people still are getting elected. And maybe the worst part is they're getting re-elected. So you can check out photos on our social media at Tubbs Show, T-U-B-B-S Show, Facebook and Twitter. I still have some to put up. But yesterday, our final day there, we did some shooting around the Vietnam Memorial, around the wall at the Lincoln Memorial, which is being refurbished right now, the main center section. I was with a couple of people that had never been to the Lincoln Memorial, and I said, as we were taking an Uber over to the Lincoln Memorial and the Vietnam Wall, I said, you got to stand, find the marker on the center steps of the Lincoln Memorial, find the marker where MLK stood when he delivered his I Have a Dream speech, and wouldn't you know it, that's the part that's right now closed for construction. But, you know, to go into, and I may do this just because. I mean, what are they going to do? Fire me. In our last segment of the hour, I stood there, and last hour I said, you know, people think I'm the worst human being ever, and especially probably after this first segment where we're going to talk about the government. I keep saying that. I apologize. The governor's mansion cleanup tomorrow in Denver and Decay. People are going to think that I am a heartless son of a bitch, but I'm really not. I just think I got some common sense, and at least I know a few of you are joining me in that realm of common sense. But back to the Lincoln Memorial. I stood there, and I've been there many, many, many times, countless times. First time was when I was 16 on a high school field trip for a week to Washington, D.C. And I stood there at the Lincoln Memorial, and then as you're facing Abraham Lincoln, to the left, as you're facing it, to the left on the wall, many of you know, it's the Gettysburg Address. And I told one of my crew members that I was with, he'd never been there. And he said, well, is it continued on the other side? And I said, no, that's it. So just because I like variety on the program, I stood there and I read the Gettysburg Address probably for the 50th time just at the Lincoln Memorial. And at the end, I'm reading it to myself and I choke up. So maybe I don't have an Alan Roach voice, and I don't have a Peter Coyote voice, but I'm going to read you the Gettysburg Address just because in the final segment, barring any breaking news. I'm going to do it. No rim shots or laugh tracks or sad piano music. I'm just going to read it. because what those words represented, and at the time in our country's history, I don't mean to get into the weeds because we're going to focus on the governor's mansion cleanup, but I'm telling you, I can think of a few Americans that need to read the Gettysburg Address. Multiple ways to get in touch with us. I mentioned our social media, 303-696-1971. You can listen live stream wherever you are on the planet via the website, 710knus.com/Stefan, or, of course, the free-to-download app. Jim will put up a commercial break-free every hour of every program that we do. They'll be up by 8 o'clock tonight. And, of course, you know, those are commercial break-free. And in the waning moments of this program's existence, I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you to get on social media, but we put out a lot of stuff every day, multiple times a day. It's at least for the show's Twitter and Facebook pages, it's not like usually 7 days go by before the latest post. But I also enjoy interacting with you that way. And of course, I love the text of the studio feature. Coming up next hour, we'll get a little bit more into the Nine News job opening, the sad piano music induced job opening at Narcan 9 for an investigative reporter. And it's unlike any job description in the world of journalism that I've ever read. But of course, you have to have your words like inclusion. And somewhere in there, I'm surprised I didn't read the word diversity. I'm sure that would come up in your in-person interview. Again, 303-696-1971. If you're just joining us, I say sorry to you, and I'm sorry to Jim.
Dolphins are in that company.
That's regular season. Second down and two. A-Chain, big hole. Turns it on, accelerating. You can kiss him goodbye. 69 points on a 67-yard touchdown run. By A-Chain, his second rushing touchdown, and his fourth today.
Courtesy CBS Sports, the great, one of the greatest play-by-play men living today, Kevin Harlan, CBS. That made it 69 points for the Miami Dolphins. It was not a good game. It was not a good game. Just ask Garrett Holds, Bowles.
Right now, what are the emotions like going through your head personally?
Shit. Shit. It's tired of losing, man. I've been here for 7 years, and all I've done is loss, and it's frustrating.
I can only imagine. But I'm sure that the new – how much is he making a year? $18 million a year, something? Doesn't matter. He's making a lot of money. New head coach Sean Payton is going to come and turn the culture around at – Dove Valley.
I know that you said it's embarrassing, but this is kind of an historic game.
I'm aware.
Third time the team has scored 70 points over 70.
What's the question? What's the question?
How do you feel about it being
I just finished telling you.
Historically embarrassing.
Next question.
Right now, what are the emotions like going through your head personally?
Shit.
See, Jim, everybody thought I was the only one to play shit. The Broncos are 0-3. Here's some good news. Hashtag we're not a sports show. The Chicago Bears come to the Mile High City, don't they? Or the Broncos at home? It doesn't matter. They play the Denver Broncos. The Chicago Bears haven't won a game either, I don't think. Anyway, somebody's got to win. Unless there's a tie, and that would really, really stink. Again, our number 303-696-1971. All right, here we go. Let's get into it. I want to see the phone. At least somebody call me, please. Here we go. At 303-696-1971. I don't know how to put this any other way, but it is truly pathetic. Not just the homeless issue in the Denver in decay, and Lori's been talking about, yeah, somebody shot to death or seriously wounded on Colfax earlier today. Colfax, there's a real sweetheart of a Denver and Decay location, anywhere along within the city of Denver and Decay limits. You're still looking, at least at last check, they're still looking for that freaking Madam X. How can you shoot five people two Saturdays ago and you're still on the lam? How is this possible? And that's not a slam to anybody within Denver PD. I just, come on. But this is, to me, part of myriad reasons why this city is the way it is, but this has to do with the governor's mansion in Cap Hill. Listen to the lead line from, I believe, this morning's Denver Gazette. As of yesterday. Quote, homeless people living near the governor's mansion in a Capitol Hill encampment slated to be cleaned up by the city on Tuesday said Denver officials have offered them shelter at a hotel. Why? Because is that what we do now? The answer quickly, the answer is yes. Yes. Now, here's your problem. And even when I sat crisscross applesauce in front of the podium at Denver Indicay, Mayor Michael...
I haven't done anything yet.
Mike Johnston. I asked him, what are you going to do when they don't want to go? Remember when just a few weeks ago we talked about there were well more than, say, 500 homeless that they encountered and they offered these city services. Remember, we're talking nearly a $250 million homeless budget that's been proposed just for 2024. I asked the mayor then, I would ask him now if he would return my messages to come on the show for the farewell tour. What do you do with the people that say they don't want your services, thank you very much, and they probably don't even say thank you? When we talked about the more than 500 that the city had encountered, they boasted that there were, I mean, there were, if there were two dozen that actually took advantage of the city services, to me, that might even be an over-exaggeration. But here they are. Here's the lead. The homeless, we're now in the business, by the way, in the Denver and Decay media. We've got to go interview the homeless. Again, I have a heart. I'm empathetic to their position. Not every one of them just lost their job and couldn't make it. Most of them are addicted to a substance, addicted to alcohol. Many of them have criminal records, and they don't care. But now we've got to go and interview the homeless and see if this is an acceptable solution. So tomorrow, I mean, they activated the emergency operation system almost day one. Emergency Operations Center in Denver to deal with this homeless crisis. As Paul Scudo, who I believe 1 week from today is part of the farewell tour, he's in studio, the soon-to-be CEO, if he's not already taken the promotion, CEO of Step Denver. As he says in Denver and Decay, certainly in the trailer, when do the rights of a select few supersede the rights of everybody else? And that's exactly what's happening here once again today. Back to the Denver Gazette article. The encampment residents told the Denver Gazette many are interested in the offer, but added they had also heard many have already signed up, raising worries they'll be on a wait list. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to be on a freaking wait list. It gives you no right to pitch a tent in Cap Hill or anywhere else in this freaking state, for that matter. And as cold-hearted and icy as it sounds, I'll say it for the 10th time in the last couple of months. If you are homeless, it's a pretty g-damn good time to be homeless in Denver, because seemingly everyone is ready to help you. God, does that make these people sleep better at night? Does Mayor Mike...
I haven't done anything yet.
Johnston, do you sleep better at night just knowing that you're trying? Denver officials last week gave about 70 homeless individuals living at 8th and Logan near the Betcher Mansion. They gave him a 7-day notice. This city has a freaking voter-approved camping ban. Now, the judges and the courts, of course, got involved in this and said, well, you just can't clear them out. You got to give them notice. How about... Denver officials last week gave about 70 individuals living at 8th and Logan a 7-day notice for the planned sweep, citing, quote, deteriorating conditions, including trash, human waste, and discarded needles, as well as encumbrances blocking the public right of way, close quote. They've had a week's notice. There'll be people down there tomorrow with their cell phones, and no, I don't know how they pay for their cell phone bill either. They'll be taking video and seeing the Gestapo come in and tell them to leave, and they're going to take all of their personal possessions. They'll probably kill a few dogs. They'll probably beat up a few people. Somebody might get shot, stabbed, shanked. This city, please mark my words when you kind of even maybe remotely miss me when I'm gone. As long as you coddle, you will never, ever make true improvement, true progress. You will not. It will fail miserably. And even when you think, well, come 24 hours from now and those 70 homeless are gone around the governor's mansion, wow, look it, we got our streets back. It's clean. They'll pop up somewhere else because the vast majority of even the 70 that are living at 8th and Logan right now, the 70 of them, how many are going to take advantage of your services? Are you happy if you get 10%? As we get ready for traffic and weather, I'd take your phone calls. And Keith, if you want to call back, I apologize. I wanted to set this up, and I'm sorry I've gone off the rails a little bit, per usual. But when it comes to this city, if I didn't really care, I really wouldn't talk about it. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to talk about this as a topic. But truly, I mean, how do you feel? Let me just ask you point blank. If I were interviewing you, how do you feel about the city having to give a 7-day notice? And how do you feel about hearing that the freaking homeless are telling at least one reporter with the Denver Gazette that they're worried that they're going to be on a wait list? It's just, it's maddening. And oh, today, whether it's right now, it just happened, or it may happen in the very near future this evening, the day before the planned encampment sweep, the Denver and DeKalb City Council plans to vote officially on allocating nearly $16 million to buy yet another no-tell motel in Denver. This one, a Best Western in Northeast Denver. The Denver Housing Authority Board of Commissioners earlier approved the home's purchase for $26 million with funding coming from, I love this, various sources. The Housing Authority plans to lease the Best Western in Northeast Denver to the city via the housing department for a nominal annual rate. Say it with me again as we get ready for our first break this hour. Homelessness is a business. Homelessness is a business. In the Denver Gazette article, quote, Denver has increasingly poured resources into reducing homelessness, spending $152 million freaking dollars in 2022, and as we just mentioned, authorizing $254 million to address the problem this year. And then, you're looking at in 2024 the same exact total. That is going to be in 2 years, nearly $1 billion. And somehow, some way, you and me, we're supposed to play the sad piano music because some at 8th and Logan, well, they're happy that the city is about to help them, but they don't want the wait. What if there's a wait list? What are we doing to ourselves? 303-696-1971. Clear lines right now. I apologize for not getting to one phone call. If you want to call back, we'll get to you right after the break. And it's interesting. We had Citizens for a Safe and Clean Denver. Vanessa was with us here in studio just last week. She didn't seem like somebody that would just want somebody to just flat out die on a sidewalk. She wouldn't go in and, you know, somebody barely breathing. She wouldn't plunge, you know, a knife into their heart. She wouldn't watch them bleed out. She's compassionate as well. But until we get tougher, until you stop worrying about if you're offending anybody, until you're finally just going to realize that the 2023 era diversity, equity, inclusion, and our unhoused neighbors and our micro communities and our tiny homes, until you make them accountable, you will only be rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. But again, at night, these elected officials like Mayor Mike.
I haven't done anything yet.
Johnston, they can sleep a little better at night knowing that they've got in just this year and next nearly $1 billion to try and help. But now we can't just worry about the total number of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars being spent on the homeless issue. Meanwhile, looking the other way and not even paying attention to the fentanyl crisis. We got to worry about if are we offending anybody because they might have to go on a wait list. Let me just guarantee you the way this PR machine works in Denver and Decay, there ain't not one G damn homeless person that's going to be told we'll add you to the wait list. They'll find because it would be bad PR. And now that the homeless themselves as an entity is being like, you're a source, you're going to have reporters go out and, well, what do you think of this? Mr. Homeless Man, Mr. Homeless Man, I'm talking to you. Stop, put down your crack pipe. I'm talking to you. What do you think about this? Until you get rid of that crap, it's just, they might as well at Civic Center Park start a bonfire and just bring in the Brinks trucks, beep, 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 have them back in and let's just throw the money. From pallets of money. Just throw it on there. We'll continue coming up. One of my favorite screwed up groups in Denver and Decay, the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. We'll talk about the money that's just very, very recently come to them. Like recently within the last time I said Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. 303-696-1971. Do you think tomorrow is going to go just peachy keen and okay? The governor's mansion cleanup near 8th and Logan. And we only have ourselves to blame in general. This city has tolerated that. It should have never got to. There shouldn't have been 7 people camping in tents outside the governor's mansion at 8th and Logan, let alone 70. And how do you people in Denver and Decay, how do you simply look the other way? How do you tolerate this? Because the people that have tolerated it and felt that it was somebody else's problem, or, hey, at least it's not in my neighborhood right now, you're equally culpable in this problem. Where's your voice? I'm trying to give you one. 303-696-1971. We're back after this. If you know the band performing this little ditty, good on you. It's not, by the way, the Greg Kinnear Band. Midway through the 5 o'clock hour, Stephen Tubbs, Jim at the controls, spinning our tunes. More of Lori's news coming up within the next 15 minutes or so. I can't believe this. This is shame and guilt right here. I got 29 shows left. And I got nothing? I got no calls. Well, I guess you're just fine with that 7-day notice and the 70 or so homeless folks living at 8th and Logan. You've thought, well, somebody else will call about this. That's fine. I can talk until the cows come home. Let me give you the latest. And I can't believe, honestly, that they must not have. It's kind of like Jenna Griswold. She hasn't updated the voter rolls in a while. The Colorado Coalition for the Homeless has not updated its email press release list in a while. I'm still on it. So this came out today, the headline from the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. Coalition for the Homeless's affordable housing complex receives exterior refresh from Wells Fargo Welcome Home Volunteers. I hope all of you Wells Fargo Welcome Home Volunteers. I hope that, you know, you felt like you did your civic duty and your community cleanup and whatever you do. Since 2010, Wells Fargo Foundation has donated more than $1.1 million to Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. Let's see. By that, they could pay for maybe 3 people's annual salaries there. Just last week, within the last 10 days at least, told you that the city of Denver contracted with the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. Because there's money, money, money. Homelessness is a business. Colorado Coalition for the Homeless gets like a $6.4 million stipend to do God knows what. I don't know what the hell you guys do down there. If everybody is working so hard and giving 110% every single day, and you've been doing that since the rooster crowed on the New Year's Day of 2010, with all the money, this is what we're left with. It's so bad in Denver and Decay that 70 people have been, and this is not just tolerated, they have been allowed to live in tents outside of the governor's mansion. Now, no, Polis doesn't live there. So it's not like, you know, he's sending his kids off to school this morning and having to have his motorcade dodge a tent. But I'm telling you, tomorrow they will do a cleanup. These people, these homeless, our unhoused neighbors, have had 7 days to get out of Dodge, so to speak. You say, oh, well, Stefan, where do they go? You're so heartless and cold. You're probably a Nazi. You're racist. You're a misogynist. You don't care. They've had 7 days, and if there is ever a time in Denver city history where the homeless have been coddled, it is now, friends. It is now. I feel for our homeless, but I also would have a couple of thousand G-damn questions for them as well. How'd you get into this situation? What are you doing to improve your situation? Are you accountable for, say, being an alcoholic or a drug addict? Are you actually looking in the mirror? And by the look of your encampment, you've got everything, including cable TV and cell service. If you're just joining us, Denver Gazette article. Denver Gazette article. The encampment residents told the Denver Gazette many are interested in the offer. What do you mean interested in the offer? The red carpet is rolled out for you. You can get services for your addiction. You can have either your own personal hotel room with a kitchen. You may have a facility that the city's going to give you for free where you can have a shared kitchen unit. Oh, I see. On your application here that you filled out, which really doesn't exist, but you request solo living. You don't want to have any roommates. There's never been a time in this city's history where the homeless has been coddled more. Period. Back to the Denver Gazette. They say many are interested in the offer, but also added that many have already signed up, raising worries they'll be on a wait list. What? You're worried you're going to have to wait? Dude, you're living in a tent on a street. And if there is such a wait list, which I think is complete bullshit, you're not going to be waiting too long. This city continues to buy for tens of millions of dollars this motel, that motel, trying to get in cahoots with landlords in the city of Denver. Here, oh, you have empty units right now because the rent's too damn high. I'm telling you, it's a good time to be a landlord in Denver. If you've got property, I don't condemn you. I'm not throwing rocks at you. Capitalism is great. If you own 45 units and you can get maybe X amount just because this city is going to want to do business with you, I think you're crazy if you own property and you're going to turn it over to some homeless person. Because, see, the sad piano music theme doesn't always work. If you're a landlord and you get in cahoots with the city and they sign some kind of probably overpriced contract with you, I guess good on you that you're getting it. But don't think you're just going to get that mother and two kids that'll hang up a home sweet home sign on your unit that you rent out. The problem is what is happening and the reality with what I think should happen. It is oil and freaking water. There is no meshing. There is no way these two come together. You must be, to me, it's at crisis levels right now in the city, and you must get tougher. This sweetness and love and, well, do you mind if I put you on a waiting list? That has got to stop. If there is tough on crime, tough on holding these people accountable, getting them off of their addictions, then you're going to get somewhere. Instead, it's just let's roll out the red carpet. Again, making this the best time in this city's history to be homeless. And it seems like nobody cares. Truly, you idiots in Denver keep taxing yourselves on, you know, a fund for the homeless because it made you feel good that day. You even are so stupid last November, you vote for this is, again, if it's easier to call it a fee for you and you feel that that's just the cost of doing business in Denver, you know, you're taxed on how many square feet of sidewalk you have in front. And so many people were so dumb in November, they thought, well, I'll only have to pay for my own sidewalk repair if it's damaged, if my sidewalk's fine. No, they didn't even know about that. No, they're going to tax you. You're going to get the bill. Well, you have 14 square feet of sidewalk. You're going to pay for 14 square feet of sidewalk. It's like nobody cares about this homeless issue enough. Where is the rise of neighborhood groups? And with all due respect, and I do mean that when I say it this in this context, Citizens for a Safe and Clean Denver. I mean, get people out. March on that. Get media coverage. See, that's the problem, too, as we get ready for traffic and weather and news. Would you even get the news coverage? Because all of you that would feel like me, you'd be labeled as, yeah, a Nazi, a commie, a misogynist, a racist, you're anti-homeless, you're anti-our unhoused neighbors. It's this vicious cycle. And on top of it, what to me makes it even worse than it even is, and it's horrible now, is, and then if that's the cake, they're frosting it with hundreds of millions of dollars, and this is what you get. You mean to tell me $1.5 billion over the last several years, this is what that gets you? But meantime, you have to have empathy, inclusion, diversity, don't want to offend anybody. You got to keep kissing ass when instead it should be slap across the face, so to speak, and say, stop your addiction and I'll help you. Be accountable for you and we'll help you. It's nothing but bad. Nothing good will come of this. Nothing good will come from this guy's plan.
I haven't done anything yet.
Nothing. And meantime, still, even though it's 3+ years old, this still fits. This is the message seemingly from the governor's office.
There's always Coloradans who are ignorant and selfish.
And if it were a cake, the little cherry on top of the cake.
I don't follow Denver politics.
Meanwhile, you got 70 people outside of your mansion. It says in its title, the Betcher Mansion, but it's the governor's mansion. Where's the governor going? This has got to stop.
I don't follow Denver politics.
Well, it supposedly will stop tomorrow. It's another game of whack-a-mole. 303-696-1971. I hope to. If I don't have time because of phone calls, just to read you, I know it's square peg, round hole for what we're talking about, but being in D.C., reading at the Lincoln Memorial, the Gettysburg Address, I tell you, I think we need to hear it. Doesn't take that long. So if there's time, but 303-696-1971. Are you as frustrated as me, or am I just like the only one? We're back next. There is something going on. The Gremlins. I've only got 29 shows left. And there's something right now. The stupefied look on my face and Jim's face. I don't know if we're on the air or not. I promise I'm not going to say bad things. We're going to at least roll through it. Somebody send me a text. Can you hear the sound of my voice right now, please? Because I have no idea if we are on the air. This is very, very strange. I have a feeling this is all the doings of George Brockler. Oh, my goodness. 29 shows left, friends. Like it, love it, hate it, what have you. News at the top of the hour with Lori. I know that if you are just tuning in, you're going to be in just a few moments going, why is he doing this? Let me just set up. I'm about to read the Gettysburg Address, which will not take that long. But the reason I'm doing this is because over this past weekend, we were in Washington, D.C., did the show there from D.C. on Friday. And we were there. We made friends, not 45 states, from 45 states, but they were there honoring and remembering their loved ones lost to fentanyl. This is a crisis. It's an epidemic. And my crew, a couple of them, had never been to the Lincoln Memorial. And we shot some promos for the upcoming documentary film that I'll be working on, May 2024 release. But one of the reasons we were at the Vietnam War Memorial and the wall, which is just beyond description, powerful. There are some 58,000 names on the Vietnam War Memorial on the wall. That was the Vietnam War. And I'm not trying to say which one is worse. I'm just giving you a comparison. 58,000 plus names on the Vietnam Wall in Washington. Last year alone, more than 70,000 Americans were poisoned to death due to fentanyl. 58,000 plus names on the Vietnam Wall of Americans died, killed in Vietnam. 70 plus thousand died of fentanyl last year alone. So we went over to the Lincoln Memorial after, and they're doing some renovations, and it's still, you can still get up and, you know, as you're looking at Lincoln sitting there in marble, if you're looking straight ahead to the left on a wall is the Gettysburg Address. 77 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they, which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, say it with me, shall not perish from the earth. I would have liked that to have gone a little bit smoother, Jim, but I was actually reading from a picture that I took of the actual wall to the left of, well, I guess to the right of Lincoln as you face it to the left. I still think, and I don't have time to get into whether or not those words fit today and why I feel they do, with more than just, hey, there's going to be a potential civil war. You got your Trumpers, your never Trumpers, you got the left, you got this. I'm not talking, it's just these words still mean something today. And that was it. Abraham Lincoln. Let's get to Kevin. We've only got about a minute and a half. Kevin, go ahead. Welcome to the show, and thank you. I apologize that we're getting toward the top of the hour.
It's all right. I'll be quick. I just wanted to say thanks for mentioning that the first step in treating addiction is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
And addiction is the reason for this, but they won't even let them admit they're addicts and go get that help. Mm. I mean, would you let a doctor only treat your symptoms and never look for root causes? You'd fire that doctor.
That's a
great
point.
So why are we letting these politicians do this?
I don't get it, Kevin. I don't understand. But, you know, then you've got, I don't know, do you agree in the 30 seconds we have left, do you agree that right now, I don't like it. I don't want anybody of my fellow man to be homeless. But, I mean, if you had to be homeless right now, this is a pretty good city to be homeless in, and they still won't take advantage of the services.
Yeah, and we need to quit catching people fish. We need to teach them how. We need to teach them Amen. How to live their lives in such a way that they don't end up in the same place.
Amen.
They need to take that help.
Yeah, that's a great call. I apologize we don't have a lot of time, but yes, instead of just giving them a fish, teach them how to fish. And, you know, they're still going to be with that. If a man or a woman out there doesn't want to be taught how to fish or learn how to fish, they won't. But, you know, those are the people that I just got to look the other way. I got to find somebody who wants to learn how to fish. But see, that's not what the city of Denver does. Here, come here. Come to this buffet. We'll give you everything you need. The 6 o'clock hour is next.